The brooch on his head called to him then, a confusing jumble of possibilities. And a pathway, he saw suddenly, an invitation. He grabbed Jameson's shoulder and motioned for him to stop, then closed his eyes and let his spirit fly free of his corporeal form, sliding through the brooch into the open air. Invisible, propelled by will without constraint, the disembodied spirit of Branson Garibond darted all about the area impossibly fast. He passed near one would-be ambusher, crouched in a tree, and marked the spot, thinking to move along. He sensed the man's thoughts completely and honestly. As expected, he was here hoping to catch or kill the highwayman. The man was thinking of the bounty, of the glory, of how King Yezelnik and Bonagran would reward him when he brought in the highwayman's head. Not surprised, Branson again started to move along to will his spirit back, but he couldn't. Suddenly, Branson felt a compulsion he had not known before. Unable to mount a defense or argument against it, he found himself sliding into the ambusher's body. A wall of outrage and denial came up against him, the man instinctively battling against this awful intrusion, this invasion into his very being. He flailed mentally and physically, and the movement cost him his balance, and he tumbled from the branch, crashing through the tree to land in a shocking jolt against the hard ground. The jarring landing expelled Branson's spirit instantly. A wave of disorientation overwhelmed him and left him lost in the ether. He saw one spot of light, warm and inviting, and instinctively made for it. Back in his own body, Branson nearly swooned and fell over. A hand slapped over his mouth and held him fast, then pulled him to the ground. He realized where he was when he was finally able to open his eyes and see Jameson staring at him incredulously. Branson could only shrug in response, since he wasn't even really sure what had just happened. It was the fallen man. Branson had felt more than one of the poor fellow's limbs breaking. Others nearby shifted in the branches and the brush, wondering if battle was upon them.
They're here to kill us.
Well, yes.
Jameson held up four fingers and pointed toward the noise. Branson somehow understood and nodded, slipped his mask down over his eyes, and started that way. The scout pulled and strung his bow in one fluid motion, then moved off the other way, disappearing into the brush. Circling wide of the fallen man, keeping him between them and the road, Branson noted more movement. After his spiritual flight, he knew exactly where to look. He made out one man creeping toward the writhing victim, another in the tree, as well as a third. Another man appeared along the road the way Branson had come.
I just fell!
An arrow slicing through the tall grass cut him short.
I'm shot!
A second arrow cracked into the wood at that location, a perfect shot that pinned the speaker's hand to the branch.
Down, to the northwest!
And here!
Branson sprung into their midst. He cut a downward stroke across the back of one man's legs. The second man thrust at him, but Branson's powerful blade picked off that thrust with enough force to send the sword flying from the man's hand. Branson's elbow hit the man hard in the nose. Branson turned on the man he had slashed, still standing exactly as Branson had left him, reaching back to grasp his torn leg. He stepped to gain momentum, then leaped and laid flat out, his legs tucked tight. He landed lightly and sprang back up just as the man Jameson had shot in the hand dropped to the ground before him. His right hand bloody and tucked in tight, he brandished a dagger.
You would make me kill you?
Branson punctuated his question with a sudden thrust that left the tip of his sword resting under the man's chin. Branson dove away, an arrow coming at his position. The knife man stumbled away. Branson let him go, focusing instead on the two archers who had a bead on his position. One archer, as Jameson's next arrow, took one through the upper arm. The second man sent off another arrow, and it cracked into the tree by his face. Branson let it go, leaving the man to Jameson, as three more men appeared directly across the road and coming hard for Branson. Two brandished shields and swords, the third a shield and bronze-tipped spear.
I arrest you, highwayman!
Branson met their charge with one of his own and hit them with a barrage of thrusts and slashes. Branson tossed the sword to his right hand and heeded the call of his brooch, though he knew not what it was saying. Driven by some subconscious thought, he thrust his arm and the blade high to his right. Branson managed to glance up at his blade as the flames danced about the carved silverel blade. Branson jumped between them. His brooch screamed new possibilities. He grabbed the half-spear of the man to his left, neutralizing any immediate attacks, and sent his sword in a down and around parry at the sword coming at him to his left. He caught the blade with his own and continued his movement, sending both weapons up high, then turned and snapped off a succession of quick elbow smashes. The spearman bold rushed from the right, or started to, but Branson quickly let go of his spear, planted his hand against the leading shield, and let the power of the brooch flow through him. Before he even realized what he had done, he noted the spearman flying backward, as if he had been thrown from a catapult. Branson spun past the one remaining foe coming in hard. Again, the highwayman invoked the power of his new brooch, and the attacker stopped suddenly in turn, slashing with abandon. He kept on fighting as if against some unseen demon. Jameson walked up to Branson and looked at the swordsman with puzzlement. Then, back to Branson. The highwayman merely shrugged, took a step forward to the side of the fighter, tapped him on the shoulder, and when the man finally glanced his way, smashed him hard in the nose with the pommel of his sword.